Du lytter til Enneagrammet Next Level podcast med Flemming Christensen. I den her episode, der oprindeligt er bragt i Enneagram Insights podcast, taler han med Mai Mustafa. Hun er en egyptisk enneagramlærer og tror på, at de 9 linser, vi ser enneagrammet igennem, kan helbrede os og forene os som mennesker. Mai Mustafa relaterer til enneagram type 9. Rigtig god lytning. Og husk, at hvis du vil være med på Enneagram Basic-kurset i Enneagrammet, hvor du kigger nærmere på alle de 9 typer, så tjek show notes. Der er link til Flemming Christensens Basic-kursus.
In the studio, I am together with Mai Mustafa. And I'm very, very excited to have a good talk with you. So nice to see you here, Mai.
Nice to see you on the screen. And I'm looking forward to see you in Cairo soon.
Yeah, me too. It's always extraordinary when being together in real life. And we have met before, and we have actually been in a teacher-trainer program together, and the theme of that program was about teaching your truth. And this is what we will be talking a little bit about here, our truth, your truth in relationship with the Enneagram. So here's the first question, Mai. Please share with us, how did you discover the Enneagram? How did you meet it? How did it become part of your life?
That's a bit of a long story that I'd like to share. I remember I was studying coaching in 2017, and I met someone in the training. She's a dear friend of mine now. But I remember after we finished the coaching program, she started like talking to me and sending me things that interest her. And one day she called me on the phone and started saying, I've been studying something that is mind-blowing and amazing, and it's called the Enneagram. And back then I used to live in Saudi Arabia. I wasn't living in Egypt. I went to Egypt to attend the coaching program and then went back to Saudi Arabia. So over the phone, she started saying all that incredible insights and everything she went through studying the Enneagram. And I kept listening and feeling like, I wish I can get to know that. And that was kind of like, you know, when you save thing for later, like I saved it in a file in my head for later, because I wasn't planning to go to Egypt soon. So it wasn't probable that I would study the Enneagram soon. And after 1 year exactly, my husband decided that he will leave work in Saudi Arabia and will go back to Egypt. So when I went back to Egypt, I have this habit of trying to recreate some of the nice things or my activities to not feel that there's a big change. And at that time, I used to practice yoga. So I started looking for yoga studios. And I found one. It wasn't a yoga studio. It was like just a wellness center. And I found one. I went to a class. And in that same day, I got introduced to the place and all the activities they do. And surprisingly, they sent me the day after that an announcement that there is an Enneagram course. And I was like, okay, I've been back to Egypt for just a month, but I'm ready to delve in.
But
I remember that what I was thinking was, I'll explore. Maybe I wouldn't like it, or maybe I just know what it's about. It was with Dr. Khaled Shirbini. And yeah, since 2018, I never stopped.
You have this program called A Deep Look Into the Mirror. What is that about?
Okay. Well, that program is dear to my heart because it's based on my own self-discovery journey, which is kind of a long journey. In 2015, I remember that it was like the hardest time of my life when I suddenly felt that I have everything that could possibly make anyone happy, yet I feel miserable. And it was surprising to me because if you look at my life, I was happily married, I have kids and financially stable and everything is working in my favor. Yet when I sit by myself, when I face my own self, I feel like I'm not happy. And that's where it started to ask big questions. What's going on? What am I missing? What's my relationship to myself? And one thing led to the other until I found the Enneagram. That was one of the big revelations. And that's why after a while with working with all what I went through and with the Enneagram, with the coaching, with the cognitive behavioral therapy that I've been studying, I decided to share part of what I went through, but to help others with, like, instead of trying to find the answers sporadically everywhere, I combined everything I learned, not everything, but some of the big things that made a difference to me in that program. And I designed it in a way to be a little bit different than the usual courses. It's more of a one-to-one session, but with a plan. So every session has an agenda, but it's open agenda, but it's a certain topic that we discuss together, me and the client.
I see. We also sitting here in this studio partly because you're presenting at the conference in January in Cairo. And what's the topic there?
Okay, I'll be presenting a topic about a classifying model for conscious family. And that classifying model is something I came up with mainly based on my personal experience with my husband and my kids, and also applying it and working with other clients, like sharing the insights and seeing the difference that or the impact that it could make. If I can like share more about it, I'd say, you know, when we feel that we are struggling to understand our kids and we are struggling to get to know what's going on wrong, I'm trying everything I know and I'm trying my best and I'm trying to be a good mother or a good father. I'm trying to be compassionate and everything I'm trying is getting me a little bit closer, but there's always something missing or something that is not working the way I want it to be. And that was my story with my daughter, my elder daughter. She's 13 now and she's a type 6. Before studying the Enneagram, I used to feel puzzled. I don't get it. I don't get what's wrong. Why our communication is not working. Although I'm trying everything and I had the kids of the family, my nieces and nephews, I had very good relationship with. And when it came to my daughter, I was puzzled. I don't know what to do. So after studying the Enneagram and understanding specifically the Hoonivian styles, it was an aha moment. It was a revelation. Now I get that we speak two different languages. And that what gave me the idea to look at the different matching. If your Hoonivian style is similar to your kid, if it's different, how would that affect the dynamic? And same goes to your partner. And also when I understood the harmonic group. So it's these details in the Enneagram is what makes it very powerful. It's not about being an introvert or an extrovert or behaving in a certain way. It's about a lens. Like when you have the tool, which is the lens, now you're looking differently and you can switch the lens, you know, like I can now borrow the lens of my daughter and see how she's seeing things and why she's acting in that way. So it's about the why, not the how she's acting. And that for me was a transformation. I literally can say that before studying the Enneagram, my relationship to my daughter was in a certain way. And right now it's 100% different. And I'm enjoying my motherhood differently.
I like what you're saying. It's not about the why. It's about the how. It's understanding why we're doing what we're doing, why we are motivated to do things in a particular way. And if we can understand how, in this case, our child is motivated to solve problems, communicate, relate to others, and we can tune in, it gives us a language, you say, to understand the dynamics. Beautiful. If you have a wish for, okay, I'm coming up with a question I haven't thought of, but here it comes. If you have a wish for yourself for the conference, and you have a wish for people coming to or listen to your workshop, what would be the wish that you give yourself, and what would be the wish that you give people attending or what you have to say?
Okay. I feel it's easier to answer the second part, which is the wish for the people. What popped in my head was, I wish that people attending my session would heal their relationships even a little bit by attending the session or the presentation. Because for so long, I felt like healing is a big word, or it's something that is like, you know, like an epiphany or a transformation, or like the movies, something big is happening. But going through everything I went through and working with people, I felt like sometimes healing is just by hearing a word that you needed to hear, or seeing something for the first time, or seeing something for the millionth time, but with a new perspective. So I wish people would heal their relationships just a little bit. And the wish for me, okay, that's sometimes difficult, but a wish for me, okay. Well, what I would wish for myself in that presentation is to practice what I learned from you, to be true, and to teach my truth using my gift. And actually saying that out loud makes me feel that it's related to the wish I wish for people, because I used to feel embarrassed to say that, but I'm learning to embrace it. That sometimes I feel that my gift is healing. And I remember when you were in Cairo and I attended the session, the IEA session, and you said that the gift of the nine is presence, or holding space for others to heal. And I felt it in my soul. I felt it in my heart. I felt it in my soul because, yeah, and I believe I have this in me. So to wrap this all in a coherent way, it would be, I wish that I can practice my gift to hold the space for people to heal, to teach my truth using my gift, and for people to heal themselves and their relationships just a little bit more.
It's almost poetic, and it reminds me that I often think that we need a little courage from others to have the courage ourselves. We need a little love from others to love ourselves. And this is kind of in the same category. We need a little healing from somebody else so we can heal ourselves. It's kind of in the same, in the same domain. Thank you. If we look at the Enneagram in a little broader perspective, and I will give you now a choice, and you have to select from A, B, or C. A would be you will spend the next 3 years with all the resources possible. You can go study wherever you want. You can teach whatever you want, but you have to choose between the topic A, B, and C. A would be young adults. So you kind of put all your effort, but only in that, young adults. B would be relationships, personal, private relationships. And C would be working with executives in organizations. But you have to kind of devote yourself totally to learn about it, teach about it, write about it. I know you're coming out with a new book, so it will be a book about this this topic too. It'll be your second book about something that you choose, but you cannot mix them. You can only pick A, B, and C. What would you choose?
Well, interestingly, as usual, I know what I don't want, which is C.
Very good.
But young adults or relationships? Okay. Well, I love working with young adults, but I will choose relationships.
Tell us why.
So, relationships. I think, or I'll just rephrase this. Okay. So relationships. I find it very impactful and effective to understand how and why and what's going on with the other person or anyone you know, or your partner or your sibling or your daughter. I find it like very shifting in your life quality, and I find that it's as if you're living a totally different life. Like, I see it as relationships, it's big part of your life, and it's big part of having like a meaningful, tasty, peaceful, and all the good qualities is when you have good relationship with people. Because sometimes I feel when I look around that people are either fighting or avoiding each other, or maybe sometimes trying to change one another. And this is something that saddens my heart, makes me sad. Because again, if we look at the type I relate to, which is type 9, I would like to see everyone getting along. So for me, relationships is a key to happiness in a way, to peacefulness in a way, to togetherness in a way. I hope I answered your question, because it's a bit of a surprising question to me, but I tried to.
Very good.
The answer, yeah.
Very good. We like surprising questions.
Yeah.
And I think your answer is, it's actually opening up to more questions. So, how do you see the Enneagram can be used? And how do you see that the Enneagram can be misused in relationships?
Oh, misused is what I would love to talk about. Because honestly, okay. Because honestly, this is something that that I can't deny. Sometimes I fear. The Enneagram is very powerful tool. It's very, very powerful tool. But if it's used in a wrong way, it can harm very bad. I see the misuse sometimes when I see people not only judging and labeling, which is a very bad thing to use the Enneagram for, but even more hurting one another, like starting to accuse the person with the things you know, according to their type, that it's a challenge or it's a drawback in their personality or it's something that they are stereotyped with. So you start to feel in relationships as if you are not seeing me for who I am. You're not seeing me for being May or for being Fleming. You're seeing me as a type 9 and a type 3. And this is like the recipe to break the relationship. You're not present. You're not compassionate. You're not seeing me. You're seeing a certain conception in your mind, a certain image that you created, and you're acting upon it, and you're treating me accordingly. And again, this is something that makes me sad because it's a tool for healing, for transformation, for improving our life quality, for liberation, not for fixation. But when we forget all of that, and when we get hung up on the labels and all the things that we don't like in the other person, instead of checking with ourselves, why are we fixating on this, or why are we focusing on this, believing that it's true and acting upon it, it's as if we're taking the relationship down the hill.
I like your explanation of a recipe to break the relationship is to see your partner or people you care about as caricatures and even blame them for the parts of the type that react under pressure, as that's what they are as human beings. Thank you. For me, I think we are looking into a world where the need for embracing diversity and mastering inclusion is as important as ever. Do you see that the Enneagram can help us?
Definitely. I believe that the Enneagram is one of the very fundamental things about the Enneagram is to give us a chance to experience and taste that we are not separate. We are different. Yes, we are different. But we are not separate. It's as if we are one thing, but with different flavor. So I believe that the Enneagram can not only help, but can make it like, you know, when you experience the thing, it's different than when you understand it. So I believe that the Enneagram is a very helpful and great tool to make us taste and experience what it means to feel that connectedness, to feel that wholeness, to feel that we are equal. We are equal. No one is better than the other. And to see how beautiful it is to touch the inner world of everyone else. Like by just understanding, by just knowing, by just being compassionate and empathizing with the 9 different types, you feel like when you see anyone, I know you from the inside. And I care for everything you have, and I care for you, and I value you. And this is what I hope that people, when they're studying the Enneagram or learning or listening about it or anything, or when they are introduced to the Enneagram, that this is what they come out with. You know, it's not like a labeling tool or just the practical use in work and in different areas, which is great. But I mean, the greater part is if you just be a little bit more human, that would be the greatest achievement ever.
So it sounds like you see the Enneagram giving us a possibility to heal just a little bit and be a little more human just a little bit.
Yes. And I hope that people continue to receive it that way.
Thank you. If we look into the future, and you had a lot of resources to send somebody off to do some scientific studies about the Enneagram, what would you like some researchers to spend their time on in the Enneagram that, okay, now we can document that this is true, or now we have proven that this is true, or this is how we see on things. Can you imagine an area that would be so excited to do some scientific research in?
Okay. That's something I've never thought of.
Very good.
Well, I'll tell you what I thought of, but I'm not sure that this is, it's just something that came to me, that the effect of the parents on their kids when it comes to health levels, especially to relate the parents' health level to the kid when they turn into an adult, what would be their health level?
I just want to translate a little bit for the listener if they don't know the term health level. Can you kind of explain a little bit what that is?
When we say health level, we mean like how conscious the person is and how they're aware of what's going on inside of them and how they are acting from reactivity, or they're acting from presence and they're responding. It's as if you are the same person, but you can use your gifts while being present and in a good way, or you can lose touch with your gifts and be reactive to the world and lose touch of who you are truly and deeply, and start being or start acting in an unconscious, repetitive patterns and ways. And when I answered your question, I felt like I know that parents affect their kids, definitely. But like to prove it, if one of the parents is healthy and the other one is unhealthy, how that affect the kid, and where on the health level is the parent, how would that affect the kid when they turn into adults? Because up until they're 18 years old, they're being under the influence of their parents. But after 18, once they turned into adults, now it's their journey. So I think that was something I would love to explore.
Wow, exciting. We are going to end this interview, and I want to know if there's something that we haven't talked about that you would like to kind of share here with the listener before the end of the interview.
Okay. Before the interview, I was thinking about my wish for the Enneagram in general when it comes to here in the region, in the Middle East and in Egypt. And I felt that if I had the power, I'd make it an obligatory thing to be taught in schools and in companies, corporates, and in everywhere. It's like you learn language, you learn math, and you learn Enneagram. In corporates, you take technical training, you take presentation skills, and Enneagram. So I wish that what we're doing right now, raising awareness in Egypt and in the region, would one day contribute to that being spread, that the Enneagram being spread everywhere. That's my hope.
That is a beautiful way to close this conversation. Thank you. Thank you, Mai. Thanks a lot for taking your time to do this interview. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Tak fordi du lyttede med, og hvis du vil vide mere om enneagrammet og de forskellige typer, så tjek show notes for enneagramkurser af Flemming Christensen.